We're doing Sefer Amidot, we're up to page Shin Samach Vav. We had begun a discussion of prayer, Shara Tefillah. The Magid Midovna had said, Kirum Zulut Livnei Adam, the Talmud he quoted has said, that prayer is something that's at the heights of the world, and yet man tends to mock prayer. The essence of prayer, the Magid Midovna had said, is that it is the fruits of the honesty of the human heart. When the heart recognizes its limited value, its compromised state, its lacking, so then a person stands there with humility, with the recognition that he is in need, and that's why he holds his feet together as a sign of his being incapacitated, so to speak. He closes his eyes, he doesn't shift his hands and feet, he doesn't move his eyes too much. He's standing there under the shadow of the omnipresent as he analyzes his state. That's the intro to prayer. Ve'livchon dalut erko, as man analyzes his impoverished state, we're holding four lines from the bottom on page Shin Samach Vav, man recognizes he needs mercy from above. Lemor, and that's where man begins his prayer. Hashem svatai tiftach, God, open my lips. Ufi agiti latecha. The halacha actually expects us to pause before prayer, before we start Shmona Esrei, to stand in silence and think, who am I standing before? And I can tell you that whenever I do this, whenever I stop and think, I find myself speechless. The most natural thing to say is, Hashem svatai tiftach. Hashem, you give me the capacity to speak, because by what right am I approaching the omnipotent? Who am I? How dare I? And by what claims do I have? So, when you guys come visit Kochav Yaakov, or anywhere out in the Shomron, take a minute during the nighttime to look up at the sky. Here in Jerusalem, you don't see that many stars. But when you leave the city, look up and think for a minute what a huge world there is. And God runs this whole everything, from the greatest planets to the smallest molecule. And we stand up there and talk like it's a given. Of course, you're listening, right? I have something to say, and of course I have expectations. No. If I think about it, I have no right to talk. When I suddenly realize my limited state, so then the most natural thing to say is, Hashem svatai tiftach, give me the capacity to speak. Yes?
On the other hand, on Shabbat, we read that every member, every limb, everything that we have must be exalting, praising.
Granted.
It's the obligation of every soul.
Maskim. Maskim. Maskim.
That's after you take the three steps backwards and three steps forward.
Maskim. V'hu makir b'tovah asher kvar kibel ad hayom. And as a person stands in prayer, he should recognize all the good he's received till today. Miyad ametiv elyon baruch hu, from the one who gives good from above, blessed be he. Umachnia orpo. So when a person stands in prayer, he really has to soften his stiff neck. Umaktin atzmo neged kvod yotzero asher ravtuv gemalau. And a person should really minimize himself when he stands opposite the honor of the one who formed him, who's given him so much good, uviyado lemalot machsorav, and he still has control to fulfill whatever one is lacking. Viyodea bevoro, and man who stands in prayer knows about his creator, kicheftzo urtzono leitiv livruav. God's desire is to do good unto what he created, unto man. And that's why in prayer, man recounts God's righteousness. Kol hayom tehillotav, yesader shevachav. Man consistently makes mention of God's praise. And only after introducing prayer with a recognition of praise, what do we say? Ata gibor, mechaye metim. You give life, you give sustenance, you give dew, you give rain. Then I can start after ata kadosh, then I can start talking about what I need. Val kiyumo, and then I talk about the fact that I'd like to remain around. Val ashlamat machsorav, and we can talk in prayer about what we're missing, what we're lacking. In prayer, we begin with the recognition and then we move on to that request that God open his storage houses, so to speak, of good, as God is described as having in heavens, so to speak, all the blessing and bounty, and it's just a question of opening it up and making it available to us. The next paragraph, it's a short paragraph, but it has a very pivotal point. V'atefilah hitzir ne'eman la'ashiv levavot al banim l'rachem aleihem. And prayer is a trusted messenger to reunite the heart of the fathers with the children, the heart of God with his children, to have mercy over us, le'tiv lehem, to do good unto us, ulmalot machsorehem, and to give us what we're lacking. Ki chein menatkos midat rachamim. Because this is the way God's trait of mercy behaves. Because if someone asks for mercy, so then the mercy is forthcoming. Except for you have people who don't know how to pray, so then God showers his kindness over them without prayer. But once a person has the capacity to pray, it's expected you wanted it. Why didn't you ask for it? So prayer is that representation. This is a weakness we often have. What am I davening for? Hashem knows what I need. What do I have to ask for? He knows exactly what I want. No, that's exactly the idea. Hashem says, I know, but you haven't asked for it. And I think that the reasoning behind it is really at the core of prayer. Why? Why don't we daven? Why is it that davening is just lip service? Because if davening were real, then davening would actually be everything we just learned it is. It would be an acknowledgement of how limited we are, an acknowledgement of the fact that Hashem could give us what we want. It's a tug of war. We live a life where when we're cornered, we turn to God. But when we're not cornered, we like to ignore him. Oh, we like to do things so that our conscience feels okay. I'm a good Jew. I get up, I daven, I put on tefillin. But do I really live a life that's reflective of God being here? Let's look at our benching. We eat, we bench. Let's look at our davening. If we really felt that Hashem were here, would we be davening so quickly? Yeah. What would our davening look like?
Okay.
How? So we try to ride the wave here. We're trying to ride a balanced system. It's Pascal's wager, right? Mm-hmm. Pascal debated with himself whether he should be religious or not. And in the end, he became a priest. And he said that a lot of religion is because we're very scared of ending up wrong. Pascal said, you figure it's not such a big investment to be religious. And the loss, if I'm not religious and I'm wrong, so in Christianity they speak about eternal hell. So that's very scary. So he says, many people are religious out of this, what's called, what became known as Pascal's wager. I'm not sure if it's true, I'm not sure if it's not, but the loss, if I'm wrong and I don't believe, is much greater than the loss if I'm wrong and I do believe. If I believe and I'm wrong, big deal. But if I'm wrong and I should have believed and I didn't, so then I eternal damnation, right? So we don't work that way. That's why we're learning Chazon Ish, that's why we're studying so many other works. We want to understand. But the truth is that emotionally, we're all the same. On some level, this is part of the human condition. There is that tendency to be religious out of Pascal's wager. There is that tendency to hedge my bets, so I'm going to daven three times a day. But if I weren't really hedging my bets, if I were really connecting, then I'd sort of be focused. I'd be thinking about what I'm doing. My behavior would reflect the philosophies that my prayer espouses. Atagi bor l'olam Hashem. Your might is eternal God. Now, if I thought about what I was saying, would I be doing all the other nonsense I'm doing as I'm praying? Last night we spoke about Aleinu l'shabeach. How could a person say, I'm giving praise to the master of the planet, a master of everything, as he's rolling up his tefillin? What am I saying? He's the greatest, right? And yet I'm not even focused as I'm saying that. So I think one of the reasons why our prayer is less than serious is because if it were serious, then it would be just what he said now. It would be a clarification of the soul, an expression of the true recognition of the limited state we're in. Now, sometimes a person's forced there. Notice how when a person has a loved one who's ill, God forbid, so then they have no problem focusing in prayer. They could daven, they could focus, they can go to the kotel, they can wake up early, they can go to sleep late. Davening isn't too long for them, on the contrary, it's too short. But that's because we're cornered. So what we strive to do is pause before davening and reach this clarity without being cornered. To think about it, to think about life, to think about the meaning of prayer, and that's why we're studying this. As we enter Rosh Hashanah, as we're approaching now, we're 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, so we have to think about this. Rosh Hashanah is a day of prayer. The month of Elul is a month of prayer. We blow shofar every morning. That's because we tend to fall asleep. You know, it's a reminder every morning. Hey, wake up. Hey, wake up. And we're hitting the snooze button. I'll get there, right? Rosh Hashanah comes and we have a hard time connecting. And then Yom Kippur comes and you're trying. And then comes Ne'ilah. It's a few more minutes, that's it. Yom Kippur's almost over. And that's, you know, so we should get the wake-up call now. Let's not wait till Ne'ilah comes. And I had an epiphany today. We ordinarily read Parashat Ki Tavo now. Our sages instituted that Ki Tavo is always read two Shabbatot before Rosh Hashanah. Always. This is how we set up the calendar. This is one of the reasons why we sometimes put together two parshiot. Sometimes we separate two parshiot. The system is set up so that we end up with Ki Tavo always being two Shabbatot before Rosh Hashanah. So what's in Ki Tavo? In Ki Tavo we have the rebuke. We're going to discuss it later tonight. Hashem reprimands us and warns us what could happen if we sin and disregard the Torah. So there's a long list of curses, a terrible description of a nation's suffering. And our sages said, Tichle shana v'kilelotea. The idea was, finish off the year and leave behind you all the curses from the year, should end with the year. A new year, a new beginning, new blessing. Tachel shana, let the year begin, u'bilchotea, with new blessings. So we want to finish off the year and leave all the curses behind us. So I thought, a thought like landed in my head. It came from above, it didn't come from within. That maybe part of the idea of reading Ki Tavo 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah is because we tend to be complacent. We blow shofar every morning and we barely force ourselves to stay in shul, that extra chapter of the David, Hashem Ori V'Yishi. I don't know where you guys daven, but I notice in many shuls that half the shul's gone. They don't even hear the shofar blowing. So sad. So along comes the parasha 2 weeks before the new year. And the parasha depicts the greatest curses that could befall a nation. The parasha depicts women not only eating their own children, but hiding the child that they're eating from the other children who are hungry because they're so ravenous. Along comes a parasha that portrays a very vivid picture of how terrible life could be. And perhaps, although it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but perhaps hidden within this concept is also a wake-up call to us. We're entering a new year. Of course we'd like to think it's going to be a blessed year. So then we better wake up and shape up. We have 2 more weeks left. So it just struck me today that maybe that's part of what's happening here. When we read Ki Tavo, we're being reminded of the gentle state we're in. We have no guarantees. I remember 10 years ago, it was unheard of that there was such open anti-Semitism in Europe. And where are we today? It's the in thing. We have to think about what's going on here. This, they call it a game knockdown in New York. You guys know what I'm talking about. Things are happening. We have to wake up. So tefillah is a recognition. I have to stop and realize I need it. I'm not the all-powerful I'd like to think I am. And that's the basis of tefillah, is the root of the word indicates a clarity. I'm forcing to discern. I'm being forced to discern. Yes?
Is that the part which is read quietly?
Yes. We'll discuss it in the parasha class. Yes?
The origin of tefillah was to replace the offense.
Okay.
Can you make a connection between...
Let's hear him out.
What is now? Oh, okay.
Let's hear when he deals with it, and then we'll see. Okay.